most New Yorkers probably don't think twice about the gender question on their state license form, as the male and female options are adequate for them. But this dynamic excludes non-binary New Yorkers who don't conform to the traditional gender binary. And that missing option is the subject of a new lawsuit against the state from my next guest, Sander Saba, a non-binary transgender NYU law school student who is seeking a driver's license form with an X marker. And we're also joined by Hannah Shanwan, a New York City attorney working on the case on behalf of Lambda Legal, a national organization advancing the civil rights of LGBTQ people. So Sander, when you went to obtain a New York driver's license, did you know you would have limited options, or was it a surprise based on your experience with Pennsylvania, which previously issued you a license with an X marker?
I was aware that it wasn't an option on the form, so I knew a bit what I was getting into in that regard. But there are, you know, sometimes if you talk to them and ask if they might add something to the form, maybe they haven't updated the form yet, they'll add it. But in this case, that didn't happen. So, you know, being non-binary, you get used to not being acknowledged, your gender not being acknowledged, not existing on forms, not being an option to select, and not used to it in a comfortable way. It's never comfortable. It hurts every time, but I've come to expect it.
You talk about how this is just a sort of a common day occurrence for you, whether it's a form or what else. You know, what are some of the common obstacles that arise because of this? And from your perspective, are there easy fixes to these things that arise, or does it take a major cultural shift?
First, I'll answer your last question. I think it's going to be both. There are a lot of easy fixes, but to get those implemented and to have them be effective, there's going to be a cultural shift that needs to happen. So the obstacles that I face day to day are bathroom accessibility things. You know, when you go to a restaurant, there's often a men's room and a women's room, even if it's single stall. And, you know, if people might say, even if it's single stall, they'll say, well, what's the issue? Just pick one. It's no big deal. Nobody's going to be in there with you. Just pick whatever one you're more comfortable with. But the thing is that I'm not comfortable going in either of those bathrooms because people watch you go in and out of bathrooms. People are incredibly judgmental about what bathroom people use, as we've seen in many different cases throughout this country. People have very strong opinions about what sort of person should use which bathroom. And so depending on the day, I don't necessarily feel safe just picking one and going in because, well, what if somebody that's watching me perceives me as a woman and going into a men's room? How are they going to react? What if someone watching me who sees me as a man sees me go into the women's room? So it's situations like that that give me an impossible choice, and I end up not using the bathroom at restaurants. On various forms, I can't actually accurately fill them out. I'll have to then call the company or the office that needs me to fill out the form and say, what are you asking about specifically when you're saying sex or gender? What are you asking about? Because that's something that's not really clear, not just on the forms, but in the minds of the people asking the question. For example, even at the doctor's office, if they're asking you just one question, what's your gender? Well, depending on the doctor, it matters what exactly they want to know. Do you want to know what my hormone levels are? Because that's going to affect the blood work ranges that you compare it to. Do you want to know what organs I have? Do you want to know how I identify so that you know what pronouns to use? There are so many different things, and people who just lump it all into one category or another. But for so many people, it doesn't neatly fit into one category or another. I would even argue that people who do identify with the binary sometimes fall outside of these, or even often fall outside of these pretty restrictive two categories.
So can you explain the significance of having a New York City birth certificate and previously a driver's license that reflect your gender identity, and what it would mean to have a New York license that didn't match who you are?
Getting a birth certificate that reflects accurately my gender, it was really freeing to know that the place where I was born, the place that I reside, recognizes me as a person and not just, you know, an anomaly, is really, you know, a burden that's lifted off my shoulders emotionally. And also, practically speaking, to have documentation, official documentation, to present various matters, when it's accurate, you don't face issues where you have to go and explain a discrepancy or have supplemental documentation or whatever. I know I'm speaking very abstractly, but it's just to have a driver's license that I would have to just arbitrarily pick male or female, knowing that it would be inaccurate. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, why have identity documentation that is purposefully inaccurate? It seems to completely violate the purpose of having identity documentation, where they, you know, the state, the city, you know, government in general seems to take very seriously accurate documentation. In this case, it seems that I'm being pushed to choose an inaccurate option for what I see to be not a very good reason.
Well, and you might not have to make that choice if your lawsuit is successful. And how did you end up deciding to bring a lawsuit? Was that a tough decision?
It was a pretty easy decision for me because I need this documentation. I need it to be accurate. I don't really have another path to getting it. So I was lucky enough to have this opportunity. So when I decided that this is something I wanted to pursue, I found people who were willing to take on the case. It worked out. So the challenging part was, you know, coming to terms with the fact that a lot of my personal information is now public record, which I am okay with. I became okay with that. But I think it's important to remember that I'm doing this now so that I don't have to reveal personal information to various people every single time I need to make a correction about why my identification is inaccurate, so that so many other people don't have to do that same thing.
Well, Hanna, sticking with the lawsuit, can you explain why this is a violation of constitutional rights, and how do you hope a federal judge will rule? Is this something where you're looking for a narrow ruling that deals just with this issue, or do you think this could have more broader implications?
So in some ways, this case is about something that the rest of us take for granted, the passport to everyday life, which is your driver's license. Thinking about what you do with a driver's license. You want to buy a bottle of wine, you need to put out your ID. You want to rent a car, you need your license. You want to register for classes at a school, you need your license. And if there's a disconnect between what your license says and how you present to the world, it can present problems. Sandra mentioned being exhausted, but there are surveys that show of individuals who are transgender that if you present an ID that doesn't match your gender, you could have a significant negative experience. 25% report verbal harassment, 16% report denial of service, and 2% report assault. So this is not a small disconnect, which isn't to say that the exhaustion isn't real, but there are so many more consequences that come with having a driver's license that with a gender marker that doesn't match what the people who are seeing it expect. So non-binary people have the same rights as the rest of us. They're not unique in that way. They're entitled to equal protection of the law, and they shouldn't be required to conform to certain sex stereotypes. They're entitled to the autonomy and dignity and privacy rights protected under due process. There's a First Amendment dimension to this. Sanders shouldn't be forced to carry around a false statement that the state is requiring them to state and to attest to. They shouldn't have to attest that they are either male or female. And finally, we strongly believe that this policy of the DMV to preclude a non-binary gender marker is a violation of the New York human rights law, which broadly protects individuals from burdens on their places of public accommodation. And so, you know, you hand out your driver's license to go to the airport and pass the TSA line, that document should be correct, and you shouldn't have to be going through this process.
After a quick break, we'll continue our conversation with Sandra Saba, a non-binary transgender law student who is suing the state to prompt New York to offer a driver's license form with an X marker.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're continuing our interview with Sandra Saba, a non-binary transgender law student who is suing the state to prompt New York to offer a driver's license with an X marker. Sandra is also joined by Hannah Shanwan, a New York City attorney working on the case on behalf of Lambda Legal, a national organization advancing the civil rights of LGBTQ people. Do you expect New York State to put up a fight over this issue, considering the state has been generally supportive of creating non-binary options in recent years, although sometimes with the prodding of Lambda Legal and other organizations?
I am very optimistic that the state will step up, as they have in other circumstances. As you know, we're partnering with Lambda in this case, a very fine organization that has done a lot to prod forward, as you say, the kinds of changes that we expect as New Yorkers. This is a great state that has taken a lot of steps forward to protect people like Sander, and should not be lagging behind the 18 other states that have gender-neutral gender markers on their state-issued licenses.
And from your perspective, is there a reason why there needs to be a gender question at all on a driver's license?
You know, I can't speak to that necessarily. Driver's licenses are an important source of identity and have security functions. And I can imagine that there are good and decent reasons to have gender as much as there is eye color. But at the same time, if someone identifies as non-binary, they shouldn't be forced to declare a falsehood.
So, Sander, in preparation for this interview, I was reading the press release Lambda Legal posted about the lawsuit on their website, where, for some reason, they have a comment section with two comments. The first describes the effort as a good step forward. But here's part of what an anonymous second commenter left. Quote, it's one thing if you want to pretend to be special or different. It's another if you want to force your make-believe on other people. Changing your sex on your birth certificate or state issue ID is asinine. How does that reaction make you feel? And how common is that type of response when people learn about your suit or that the fact you identify as non-binary?
So when I first saw that comment, it was a bit disheartening to see. But then after thinking about it for a second, I thought it was a little bit funny because the way that I see gender as a spectrum, multifaceted, forcing people to choose between male and female, in my opinion, is forcing someone's make-believe on others. So it's just, I guess, another way of looking at that. But this also goes back to why is it important to have a gender-neutral option on driver's licenses? Because as ideas develop in society, it affects the law, but also when the law changes, it affects how people view things in society. And I think that having an option that actually recognizes me as valid on a valid state form of identification will influence the way that people see my gender as being real, as being more valid, as not just make-believe. It's tough feeling often like people do have these kinds of reactions a lot. I'm lucky to live in New York City with a lot of, progressive thinkers. So I don't face it quite as much as I had before, but it really weighs on you for the world to constantly be telling you that you're not right about who you are. But knowing with every fiber of my being that I am right about who I am, but it's still this constant struggle because how can I be right if everybody's saying I'm wrong? But it's not everybody. And that's really, really important to remember. And I'm hoping that with this lawsuit and people learning about it and others like it and just trans people becoming more prominent in the media generally, that people realize that it's not everybody that thinks like that. And you're not alone. It's funny, the moments that I felt the most alone in my identity were like the moments right before I would, come out to a certain group or, to just declare my identity in a setting where I knew I wasn't welcome. But the moment immediately following it was the least alone that I felt because my declaration of my identity made people who were hiding in secret feel comfortable enough to come forward themselves. And I was amazed at how many people there were that I had no idea were also queer, were also non-binary, were also struggling with this thing or another. It is disheartening to see things like that, but it is so, so much more heartening to see just little comments with messages of thank you. And because of you, I got to talk to my mom about my sexuality or my gender or something like that.
And Hannah, did you want to add something?
I did. I think it's also important to recall that a lot of people are simply ignorant about non-binary gender identities and somehow have this idea that it is somehow a recent invention, that it is just an artifact of the 2000s. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Non-binary gender identities stretch back and have been recognized by a variety of different cultures and societies by thousands of years. And the notion that this is make-believe goes against centuries of history, modern understanding of psychology, and the medical community.
New York State in recent years, like we said, has become more receptive to the idea of gender non-binary. And Sandra, you mentioned living in New York City, where people are more progressive, a little more receptive to this idea. We have a president, though, Donald Trump, who is not in any way, shape, or form in terms of his rhetoric or his actions. And I'm curious what impact that has had on your life.
It certainly hasn't made things easier. I don't want to go too far into detail because it has, you know, really affected every aspect of my life in some way or another. But just one example is that I felt like I had been making a lot of progress with certain people in my life that I'm close with, family members, close friends, things like that, in terms of, you know, their ideas about sexuality and gender. But when Trump took office, they felt like they no longer were required to broaden their thinking. They were now justified in their incredibly limited worldview, because so is our president. And it became so much more challenging to have conversations with them, even if we weren't talking about the president at all. Just them feeling justified in their own naivety, their willful ignorance, their prejudice, just closed so many doors that I had worked really, really hard to open just a crack.
We've been talking with Sandra Saba, a non-binary transgender NYU law school student who is the face of a lawsuit hoping to expand the gender options on New York's driver's license form to include an X marker. And we also heard from Hannah Shanwan, a New York City attorney working on the case on behalf of Lambda Legal, a national organization advancing the civil rights of LGBTQ people. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.